Welcome to this intermediate Ableton Live 12 lesson on building an immense style chop with macro controls. We're going to turn a classic break into something that behaves like a real performance instrument inside a drum rack, so you can move from tight roller groove to chaotic switch up to atmospheric fill without endlessly rewriting MIDI. This is a very DNB way of thinking. The ANN break has that history, that swing, that human urgency, but in modern drum and bass, you usually don't want the raw loop just running unchanged in the background. You want controlled chaos. You want the break to evolve with the arrangement, answer the bass line, and create tension right when the track needs it. So the goal here is not just to make a chop-top breakbeat. The goal is to build a chop that feels playable, mix-safe, and full of energy, using only stock Ableton devices. First, choose your source break. You can use a real amen, an amen-style break, or any vintage break with strong ghost notes and solid snare attitude. Drag it into an audio track, and warp it only as much as you need to fit the project tempo. For a modern DNB session, aim somewhere around 172 to 176 BPM. If the break already sits close to the tempo, don't overstretch it. Let it breathe. A good habit here is to find a clean 1-bar or 2-bar section that already has movement in it. If the break feels a little flat, you can duplicate the clip and process one copy for body and one for top-end texture. That gives you layering options later. Remember, the old breaks worked because of the micro timing and ghost note detail. That human feel is the magic. Now right-click the audio clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. For this kind of workflow, transient slicing is usually the most musical starting point, because it preserves the break's natural accents and gives you playable pieces immediately. If you want a more predictable pattern-building workflow, 1/8 or 1/16 slicing can work too. But in most amen-style chops, transient slicing is the better starting move. Ableton will create a drum rack with the slices mapped across pads. At this point, rename your important pads. Call things like amen kick, amen snare, ghost hat, tail, or pickup. It sounds basic, but when you're writing fast, clear labels make a huge difference. Also, don't feel like you need every slice. That's a common trap. The best amen edits usually come from a few core pieces plus selective ghost notes. If you use everything, it often just sounds busy instead of musical. The groove comes from intention, not from cramming in every possible hit. Now let's make the rack behave like an instrument instead of just a pile of slices. Layer a few useful elements. You might put the main amen slice on a pad, then add a short cleaner transient from the same slice, maybe a tiny Foley tick or vinyl crack for top texture, and even a low thump layer if the original kick lacks weight. On each chain, you can add stock processing like drum bus for weight and smack, saturator for grit, EQ8 for cleanup, and utility for stereo control. A good starting point might be drum bus drive somewhere around 5-15%, with boom kept subtle, and a saturator drive that adds character without flattening the transient. With EQ8, clean up unnecessary low rumble below about 25-35 Hz, and if the break gets brittle, tame a bit around the 4 to 7 kHz area. This stage is about getting the rack to sound like a record before any macro movement even happens. If the core sound feels strong now, the automation later will feel exciting instead of desperate. Now comes the heart of the lesson. Macro control. This is where the rack stops being a static loop and starts becoming a performance tool. Group your drum rack into an instrument rack if needed, then map the most musical changes to macros. The key idea here is that macro design should be performance-oriented, not parameter-oriented. In other words, don't just map random knobs because you can. Each macro should answer a musical question. How dirty is it? How wide is it? How tense is it? How much fill energy is happening right now? That's the mindset. A really useful macro set would be something like this. Tone, map to an EQ filter frequency. Crush, map to saturator drive or redux amount. Bass, map to reverb dry/wet. Throw, map to delay dry/wet. Snap, map to drum bus transient or drive. Width, map to utility width or a subtle auto pan on a top layer. Tension, map to an auto filter cutoff. And motion, map to auto pan rate or depth, or another stutter-style movement somewhere in the chain. Keep the ranges playable. That matters a lot. If a macro only sounds good in a tiny little zone, widen the mapping or soften it. You want to be able to move from subtle to obvious without destroying the groove. A good rack should have a safe middle position where the sound is still usable in most sections. For example, you might map auto filter cutoff from around 150 Hz up to 14 kHz. Reverb dry/wet might live between 0 and 18%. Delay dry/wet could stay between 0 and 12%. width on a top texture layer might move between 80 and 120%, while the main chop stays mostly mono and centered. That last part is important. Keep your core drum chop dry, punchy, and mostly centered. If you push reverb or width too hard on the main body, the groove can lose impact fast. A cleaner approach is to keep the main rack dry and build a separate FX layer, or a parallel chain, that you can blend in when needed. That second chain is where the fun fill and transition stuff lives. Think filtered, delayed, washed, and slightly damaged. A classic setup could be an auto filter high-passing from around 120 Hz up to 1.5 kHz, an echo with 1/8 or dotted 1/8 feedback, and a short reverb for metallic smear. Add some overdrive or saturator before the filter if you want more aggression. For the delay, keep feedback controlled, maybe somewhere around 15 to 35%. Filter out the low end of the echo so you don't smear the sub. For the reverb, keep the decay short, maybe around 0.8 to 1.8 seconds. This should feel like a drum space, not a fog machine. One really strong move is to map one macro so it barely does anything at low values, then becomes clearly audible at higher values. That way the same control can give you subtle ambience in the intro and obvious fill energy before a drop. That is exactly the kind of movement that makes a break feel alive in a DNB arrangement. Now let's program the rhythm. Open the MIDI clip and build a 1-bar version and a 2-bar variation. Use the 1-bar pattern as your core loop, then use the 2-bar version to keep the track talking to itself. A strong pattern might put the kick on the downbeat slice, the snare on the backbeat slice, a few ghost hits around the offbeats, and then a pickup or fill at the end of the bar. You're not trying to reinvent the amen every 4 seconds. You're trying to create a groove that has enough variation to stay alive, while still locking with the bass. A useful arrangement mindset is this: keep the first few bars relatively straightforward, then slowly introduce more movement. In bars 1 through 4, let the roller version breathe. In bars 5 through 8, bring in some high-passed FX layer or a little stutter. In bars 9 through 12, maybe add a snare drag or extra ghost note before the repeat. Then in bars 13 through 16, open the filter, make the texture wider, and strip it back so the next section has somewhere to go. And yes, always think about the bass. If your bass line is sub-heavy and conversational, let the amen answer it at the end of every 2 bars. If the bass is aggressive and syncopated, keep the chop simpler so the groove doesn't turn into rhythmic clutter. Fast tempos make clutter obvious very quickly. Now start automating the macros like a performer, not a technician. Think in phrases. The intro should feel filtered, narrow, and restrained. The pre-drop should build tension with increasing cutoff, delay throws, and more transient snap. The drop should come back dry and punchy. The switch-up can spike in crush or space for just 1 bar. The breakdown can open up into wider, more atmospheric movement. For a simple automation plan, try this. Automate tension from about 20% to 80% over 4 or 8 bars. Push crush only on the last beat of a fill. Open tone slowly in the final 2 bars before the drop. Pull width back narrower in the heaviest section so the mix stays solid. If you're working in session view, this can be even more fun, because you can map macros to a controller and record the movement live. That's a very jungle-friendly way of working. It captures performance energy, and it often leads to more musical choices than drawing everything by hand. As you test the chop with your bass and drums, keep checking the low end. High-pass the FX layer so it doesn't fight the sub. Make sure the snare transient still cuts through. If the break is clashing with the snare or the bass, simplify it. Cut some low mids around 180 to 250 Hz if things are muddy, or trim a bit around 2 to 4 kHz if the presence is harsh. And definitely check mono compatibility on the main chop. This is one of the most important mix lessons in DNB. If the groove sounds huge in solo but falls apart when the bass comes in, it's not actually huge, it's just crowded. So keep the core anchored, keep the FX controlled, and let the movement happen in layers. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't overprocess the main chop. Don't make the body too wide. Don't use every slice just because it's there. Don't let reverb wash out the backbeat. And don't flatten the break with aggressive grid alignment. The amen is alive because it has some natural offsets and swing. Preserve that character. If you want a darker or heavier DNB flavor, saturation before filtering is a great move. Drive the transients, not the whole loop. Use a 1-bar panic fill at the end of 8 or 16 bars by spiking crush and space together, then snapping back to dry. High pass the FX throw aggressively so the track stays heavy instead of muddy. And if you really like a macro combination, resample it. Seriously, capture it as audio. That turns a temporary idea into a reusable transition asset. Here is a quick practice challenge. Build a 1-bar amen style break in a drum rack. Create at least 4 macros: tone, crush, space, and tension. Program a basic groove with kick, snare, and a few ghost hits. Then automate the macros over 4 bars. Dry and tight on bar 1, a little more tone movement on bar 2, more crush and tension on bar 3, and a short reverb or delay throw on bar 4. Add bass underneath, check it in mono, and then resample the result. Decide whether that chop works best as a main groove layer, a fill tool, or a transition FX asset.